This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 10th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. I'm here to answer your questions and share some ideas as we go through this hour together. Last week, a listener called about investing for friends, and we talked mostly about the nuts and bolts of that. But there are other concerns or issues that maybe we should briefly touch on. Now, I can understand that you have maybe you've had some success investing, and you mentioned to your friends, and they feel confident in you, and all those kinds of things. I understand that, but I think you're complicating your friendship and putting yourself at risk. And the risk is probably going to disappoint your friends. They most likely will have unrealistic expectations, and you have to guide them to realistic expectations, because as we know, you can be very successful in 1 year, not so successful the next year, because things change, the market changes. And you know, your friends are going to expect, you're going to have to report to them, they're going to see the numbers, and you're going to, if you disappoint them, they're going to bring it up, they're friends, they're going to talk about it. And you're going to be in a pretty untenable position. So I think you need to consider that. You might want to keep your friends as friends, not necessarily as clients. So just bear that in mind. So what's on tap today? Some are suggesting that quantitative easing gives way to quantitative tightening. I mentioned that myself. Now, will that risk income ETFs? Quantitative tightening. Should income investors be wary? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. But first, let's go ahead and get to the phones. We're trying to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And you can, if you can't call during the live show, you can always call anytime you want, the same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Scott calling from the Bay Area, California. Just checking in on a question about a topic that a friend of mine brought up when we were talking about just the market. I'm still a beginner, and so a few questions that I sort of raise after someone says something, I try and dig in. The topic that came up had to do with something called a covered call, and apparently he's selling covered call options out of his own portfolio. And I really need to do a little bit more research on this, but I just thought I'd mention it. If you could discuss on your program what a covered call option is and how individual investors use that to sort of round out their income stream. I appreciate the program, Steve. Thank you, and look forward to your response on the podcast.
Okay, covered call option. The word covered means you own the stock in your portfolio. An option, the word option means you have the right to buy or sell a stock. So a covered call option, if you sell someone a covered call option, that gives them the right to call the stock away from out of your portfolio at a certain price. And for that right, they pay $1 per share. And options sell at 100 share lots. So let's say the stock is selling for $100. Remember, options expire every third Friday of the month, generally. Every third Friday of the month, options expire. So you sell a covered call option for $1 a share. I'm just picking numbers, by the way, to someone who may want to buy that stock at a certain price, and you agree on that price. Maybe it's $100 today. They will buy it from you if it goes to, let's see, call it away. So they want to buy it maybe at a lower price, say $90. Then it costs them $1 a share to do that. You get the $1 a share because you own the stock. Okay, now forgive me because I'm not an expert on options. So if I'm explaining it wrong, forgive me. But you as an owner of stocks can sell covered calls, and that's a way to make income. If the stock doesn't move, or it goes up, or it goes in the opposite direction of what the option strike price is, then you just get to put that dollar a share in your pocket, and it expires every third Friday, the options. Keep doing it. You can sell it forever. And maybe the stock is never called from you. Yeah, you just made a bunch of income. By the way, this is not for individual investors. It's for people who know what they're doing. And it's more on a professional side than amateur side. Just so you know. That's covered calls. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Let's look at our news carousel for InvestTalk Insiders on InvestTalk.com. Here are some of the stories posted today. A recession would be the biggest challenge for the next Fed chairman. That's from Bloomberg. A recession. 15 money-saving tips and tricks for college costs from Kiplinger. TechCrunch reports that Amazon will bring Echo and Alexa to India and soon to Japan. 3 billion accounts of Yahoo were affected by massive hacking in 2013. Remember, Verizon reported that because they bought. They bought Yahoo, so they're the ones who report the numbers. So the articles go on and on and on. I mean, I could quote you some more headlines. So this is what you can see for free, all these headlines of all these articles from different reputable sources that you know about. It's pretty intensive, and it's all free. So you can keep up with the latest financial news in one handy place. You can become an InvestTalk Insider. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab. Our number, 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the phones right now. And another question. Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wondered what you thought about CTL, CenturyLink.
Okay, CenturyLink, Inc. is out of Louisiana, provides local exchange, long-distance network access, and broadband services to rural communities in 37 states. So it's a telephone company. For telephone and data, this is your problem. They made in 2015. They made $2.71 a share. $2.71. 2016, $2.45. 2017, they're going to make $1.94. And 2018, they're going to make $1.86. So earnings are going down, and sales are shrinking 4 to 7% a quarter for the last year and a half or so. There's where your problem. The 10.6% dividend looks pretty darn attractive, and that's probably, is that what brought your attention to it, Art?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, and it has a huge cash flow. It's a $20 stock. It has a huge cash flow of $8.03, and the stock is not overpriced. Even at $1.86 at a $20 stock, that's what, 11 PE? And the five-year range is 8 to 29. My problem with it, Art, is it 2019 that's going to go down to? Is that going to go down? We don't know. You know, I can tell you there was a lot of insiders buying at $23
a
share.
Right?
Yeah, I can tell you that. So here it is at 20, and you know, they were buying at 23. I'm not sure. Maybe they just didn't know what they're doing. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds are slowly selling it, not dramatically. But they do have a lot of debt, too. I don't know, Art. I guess you could take your chance. I know they won't be able to maintain that dividend if earnings keep going down. I mean, remember, 10% dividend, and it's a $20 stock. That's a $2 dividend. But they're only going to make $1.86 next year. So how can they keep that up? So it's they can do it for a little while, but don't expect the dividend to stay that way. They have to turn around their sales, Art. CTL, everybody.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. CTL, CenturyLink. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. There's a popular way to invest hands-on with friends without taking on the responsibility that an investment advisor would feel for a client. An investment club. You could do an investment club. Get questions about financial learning sources? I'm here for you on InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, quantitative tightening, not easing. Should income investors be wary of that? Quantitative tightening. You know what the Fed's doing. I've mentioned it before. They're slowly beginning to tighten. That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, I want to talk about Trump's tax proposal. We have some details, and I want to give you some of the highlights of it, and maybe what it will do for retirees. Okay? And nothing is normal. Nothing is normal. So this, you know, in financial circles that we've been experiencing for several years, nothing is normal, and it's causing a lot of stress for investors. So I want to talk about what does it mean that nothing is normal. And did you see the news on Walmart today and the price of Walmart? And why did the price of Walmart go up so much today? As a matter of fact, it also, you know, affected other retailers, but mostly Walmart, for what they're doing. And if you didn't see it, I think that's something we should really discuss. The market was up, ended up today. It was started up, went straight up from the opening, then gave a lot of that back and even hit some negative territory, but ended up being positive. The Dow up 70, and a lot of that was probably due to Walmart, by the way. The Dow was up 70, the Nasdaq up 8, and the S&P up 6. So that's what the market did today. And I think that the market didn't look so healthy. Started off running up. There was no really news, bad news, good news, or any news. And then it started giving all that back. And then it made a little comeback at the end, but not too big of a comeback. So it just kind of, that seems kind of weird. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, Mike out of Louisville, Kentucky. Love your show, longtime listener. But I have a question about Berkshire. I'm actually looking for that sweet spot of a defensive stock and a when it can grow. Berkshire seems to be one of those, especially with their cash position and mutual fund aspect. However, I wonder if what would be a good entry point to do this. And please let me know. You have a great show. You have a great day.
Well, Berkshire Hathaway, everybody. Berkshire Hathaway Class A shares. And it's, you know, Berkshire Hathaway owns insurance companies, food service operations, energy distribution, manufacturing, flooring companies, finance companies, apparel companies. So Berkshire Hathaway, the stock, is actually a holder of a number of stocks, and it's like a mini mutual fund. Now, the shares are selling for $281,950. Per share. It's because he's never split that. So you may want Berkshire Hathaway B share, KB, and that's selling for $188. So that might be what you really want. And they own the same thing, by the way. It's exactly the same. BRKB. Okay, so let's talk about that because it's more in line. Okay, it's selling for $188, and you want a entry point. Well, I wouldn't chase it, and it's going up higher and higher and higher, just like the rest of the stock market. I'd wait for a pullback. Take a look at a one-year chart, and you'll see it had a pullback from 180 all the way down to 165, and that was in the middle of the year. What was that? Maybe probably during the summer. Yep, April, May, June was the pullback. And then from there, it started running again. I would wait for that same similar kind of pullback. And that was what? About 10% or so. So 20 points, about 160, 165. I'd buy it. I'd rather see you buy it there. I'd wait for a pullback. I wouldn't chase it. Berkshire Hathaway, everybody. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. There's no secret formula. Successful investing takes time and commitment and a lot of work. And learning professional level, you know, learning at our level can be very good for you, but it's difficult. It takes time. If you want to give me a call, talk about it, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Alex in El Paso. How are you doing, Alex?
Doing good. How about yourself, Steve?
Good. I really do appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks. I absolutely love the show.
Okay.
As a young person who recently graduated in the workforce for a couple of years now, it's provided invaluable knowledge.
Good. Great. I'm glad for that. I'm glad it's helping.
I have a question about my 401k. Mm-hmm. There's been regular profit sharing, but there is a plan to receive a large sum of profit sharing within the next couple of years. and I know that that goes directly into the same account as my 401k. How does that work if I want to sell all those shares?
Is the profit, you're telling me the profit sharing, and that's cash, is going into your 401k directly. And it's part of your 401k. It's not outside the 401k. It's inside.
I'm not sure. It's managed under the same system through Fidelity.
Okay.
So if I log in there, it shows the contributions, and then it also shows company stock.
Okay. If it's going into your 401k, you cannot, this is the rule, you cannot take it out without paying tax and a penalty. The penalty, I think, is 10%. Then it's added to your income tax and whatever income tax rate you're at, if it's part of your 401k. If they're putting it into an account that's separate from their 401k, but in the umbrella of your accounts at Fidelity, in other words, it might be a brokerage account that's not part of the 401k, but they report it in conjunction with it, then you can touch it. But it sounds like it's going into the 401k. You have to ask them, because you can get profit sharing outside your 401k. They just sound like they're putting it in your 401k for you as a contribution. How much is it? Is it more than $15,000 or $16,000, or do you think it will be more than that?
The plan is to receive 100 shares, so it would be about $6,000.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I asked, because there, a 401k cannot put more than, like, I think it's 15 or 16,000 to limit this year. So if they were doing more, they couldn't do it, and that might tell me that it's not going in the 401k. But at 6,000, I got the strong feeling they're putting it right into your 401k, and it's part of your 401k, Alex. I won't know that, though. I don't know that for sure. You have to talk to your whoever's handling the 401k for you, whoever the custodian is.
And even if it is, there's no way. Say it is in the 401k, you can't sell those shares and invest them into the same fund that your 401k is already investing in?
Yes, you can do that. You can change the investment. You can.
Okay.
But you got to leave it in the 401k. But you can change. You can sell the stock and buy something else. Yes, as long as it's in your 401k.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Bill in Walnut Creek. He wants to talk about Starbucks. How you doing, Bill?
Doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm doing a little portfolio review of my own and just looking at some of the issues that I have. I have some shares of Starbucks I've been holding long term. Just wanted to get your feeling. If you had it in a diversified portfolio of stocks and mutual funds, et cetera, would you continue to hold it? It just seems like it's kind of stalled out on its growth. And I'm just wondering if that ride is over for a while.
Well, the growth ride is probably over, Bill. The ride of growth of Starbucks is still growing. But it's now growing in single digits, no longer double digits, 6, 7, 8% instead of the, 10, 15, 20% because they're so big. It's an $80 billion company. It's very difficult to keep growing. They have 25,000 coffee shops worldwide, 15,000 in the U.S. It still can grow. So now it's a big blue chip, Bill. You have to change your thinking to, okay, it was a growth stock. Now it's a big blue chip stock. And as a big blue chip stock, you look at, well, how much money am I going to make on my dividend? Are they carrying too much debt? Is the earnings going to keep rising? And the answer to those are probably no, they're not carrying too much debt. Yeah, the dividends are going to they're going to probably raise the dividends, and earnings are going up. From a long-term perspective, you probably want to hold on to it, but you can't expect the returns you had before. It's not going to happen. Okay, still a very good, solid company, and it's a good blue chip stock to hold. It'll hold its value very well. It just won't grow like it did. Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Starbucks, SBUX, SBUX. So now that the PE ratio is like 27, going forward it's going to be like 25, and the 5-year range is 25 to 39. But that, during the last 5 years, there's a lot more growth. So it is low, near the low of the range. I would hold on to it if I had it. I just would, because it's such a good company. You can reach me right now as we move into the part two of today's Invest Talk. My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific time is 888-99-SHARK.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues. First, a couple of words from KPP Financial, and a question for you. When did you last review your entire investment portfolio, not just look briefly over the documents? Steve believes this is something that should be done quarterly, every year at the very least. Why is this so important? You need to make sure that you're achieving the goals you want before you run out of time. And if you're just checking your statements each month and putting them back in the drawer, Steve believes you need to take a closer look. You may be missing opportunities or taking too much risk. Invest an hour with Steve. Start the process going. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. It can be done easily from anywhere in the USA on Skype or telephone. And now let's continue with the podcast.
And now let's get back to Invest Talk, answers to life's important money questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART. You can call right now.
888-992-4278. Quantitative tightening. QE versus, this is the opposite of QE, quantitative easing. Quantitative tightening is when the Federal Reserve is starting to raise rates and selling some of its $4 trillion balance sheet. When it does that, it tightens the money supply. Now, the problem with that is the Fed is the only one tightening. The ECB and Japan are not tightening. They're still easing. So, but the point is, when the Federal Reserve is tightening, is that going to, as you are an income investor, is that going to have a good impact or a bad impact on you? There's been a chart floating around about how much assets have gone into ETFs that have yields. Dividend yields, income yields, those kind of, and it's been skyrocketing. And that's been going around as, oh no, that maybe shows something like a bubble. And I'm not buying it for the simple reason is money's not coming out of other assets to put into those assets. And they're not taking consideration that ETFs are rather new. And so this is the rise of a new type of investment, and it has both stock, dividend paying stocks, and they included in this, and bond paying stocks included. It's just they're not showing the whole picture. That's the problem. But the chart itself that shows you the growth of yielding ETFs is dramatic. I mean, we're talking from going back to 2006 when it was zero. Now it's $600 billion. So, yeah, that's dramatic. But I'm not so sure it's something that you really need to worry about at this point. What I think you need to worry about is the Fed is tightening. And what that would do to bond funds and bond ETFs, that will push them the net asset value down. But at the same time, you have a very easy money supply everywhere else still, and we have big tax cuts maybe coming in, and that'll be very good for corporate profits and may actually cause more people to put more money into dividend paying stocks. So you got to separate bonds from stocks. You can't combine them and say, oh, income producing ETFs are at a huge rise. Well, what do you mean? Which ones? What category? So I just think that you as an income investor, you know, there's ways to do it to not take too much risk. So there's ways to manage it so you can keep your risk fairly low. But that's up to you. 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. Anytime you want to pick up the phone and ask a question, you can. 888-99-CHART.
Thanks a lot for the show. Hey, I've got a question about SIFY Technologies. SIFY is the stock ticker. A while back, you said you liked that stock a bit, and I ended up buying a little bit at about 80 cents, wrote it up to $1.20, and sold it, feeling pretty good with myself. Since then, it's gone crazy, just kind of gone through the roof. My question is, with stocks like this that have such explosive growth, do you tend to want to just hop back in, ride the train up, or wait for a pullback? I guess in general, what do you think about things that explode this much? Are you cautious? What are the fundamentals that you wait for down the road if you're going to invest in them? All right, thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Chase performance. That's the rule. Don't chase it, because just as you get back in, it'll roll over on you. If you spot it and sold at a nice profit, great. Wait for a pullback, a significant pullback. And this is SIFY Technologies. It's a really tiny company, so it's really high risk, and you can see why. It's a $350 million market cap stock, and it's going to make 7 cents this year after making 5 cents last year. Well, what's 7 cents worth? Okay, if it's a 20 PE, that's $1.40. It's a $1.96 stock. So it's an Indian provider of corporate networking and data internet access and online portal services in India. So, you know, it's a high-risk play, very high risk. It's worked out, but you don't chase it. It went from 70 cents in July to $1.96 now. So it's already made that run. It could run more, obviously, maybe. You never know. I don't know. But my experience is, don't chase these high, low price stocks, even though they're doing well and it does have earnings and it's growing. I wouldn't chase it. Don't chase it. Be patient. Let it come way back down. It'll come back down. Trust me on this. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Nothing is normal. Investors are really mentally exhausted. Professionals, mostly professionals, not amateurs, because they know that this is not normal. Nothing's normal. The central bank liquidity is still there, even though the Fed is slowly tightening. That liquidity amount is abnormal. Not normal. ECB and Japan, as I said earlier, they're still pumping money into the system. Huge amounts. Meanwhile, we have record low volatility in the stock market. This is not normal. None of it's normal. We haven't seen a 10% correction in I can't tell you how long. Normal would be one to two of those a year in a bull market. We're lucky if we get one. So nothing is normal. So what are you supposed to do with this? What are you supposed to do with this information? Since nothing is normal. Well, go back to basics. You buy good, solid, fundamental companies. That's it. There's nothing. I remember in 1997, 98, 99, and you know, late 1999, we were talking about stick with the basics. Stick with what's real. Earnings are real. Price-earnings ratios are real. The sale and making money is real. And of course, everybody thought that was stupid, because we had a new paradigm where what was real was eyeballs coming to your website. How many hits did you have on your website? And they would count that as real money. Same thing. What is real? Real is, what are the earnings of corporations? Well, they did pretty good last quarter. This quarter they're going to do pretty good, not as good, but they're pretty good. What about the price to sales, price to earnings, return on equity, return on assets, profit margins, all those fundamental things? Are they those you can rely on, and there's normal relationships? And if they're abnormal, then you got to be careful. Look for the normal ones. Therefore, and it's getting harder to find them. Trust me, I do this for a living. I know. But don't, as I said before in the previous slide, don't chase things. This is a recipe for a disaster, chasing. Now what's going to happen is, sometimes they just keep going up. Yeah. But I'm telling you, over the long haul, chasing something that's had a huge run up is the wrong decision. It's just the wrong decision. When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you get the key to all kinds of useful information, everybody. In addition to easy access to financial news, which I mentioned earlier, there are white papers on all kinds of useful topics and lists that can make your investing life a bit easier and maybe more productive. Sign up on InvestTalk.com, InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab.
Why don't you invest a few minutes and check out our book section on InvestTalk.com? Besides Steve's book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, you'll see a whole catalog of titles that have been personally selected by Steve and Justin to help you improve not only your investing knowledge and know-how, but give you perspective too. Visit the recommended book section on InvestTalk.com, books that should be in your library.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bobby at Santa Rosa. How you doing, Bobby?
Hi, fine on you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thanks for the program.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm doing fine, thanks. So, I didn't hear the question, but basically, I'm a Fibonacci lawyer at StockTwits, and I have a question that many people have. It's a which stock is going to make it first to the $200 line. And there's a couple I can mention, like NVIDIA, Netflix, and Baba. But there's also LRCX and BDX. But at least between those three, NVIDIA, Baba, and Netflix, which one you guys think is going to make it first to the $200 line?
Okay, it's almost an impossible question to answer, Bobby, because I have to look all those up, compare them with each other, find out what the growth is, and I don't have that time on this radio show in that just a couple of minutes.
That's a question only for somebody that is familiar with these stocks, I guess.
Yeah, if you want, you can send me an email to ask that question. Then I have more time, and I can look them up for you. But
that's a good deal. I'll look forward to doing that because I'm also driving now, so I cannot give you some of the numbers either.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call. I do appreciate the call, but if you call and ask about one stock, I'll be happy to answer that.
Thanks for giving those great insights.
Thank you, Bobby. Thanks for the call. Yeah, see, everybody, you know, I just can't make comparisons because I had to open up all the charts, open all the software on the one stock, and then write those that information down. Then open up on the next stock, write that information down. Then open on the third stock, right? And then compare that with the previous. You can see how that time is not available on the radio show. Beginner experience questions are always welcome. 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you get a chance to look at the symbol CUDA and give me your opinion, please.
CUDA, I certainly can do that. And CUDA. Okay, this is Barracuda Networks. Designed security and storage application to help its customers protect and store data. I kind of like that. I like that sphere. I do like that. The store and protection sphere in the internet, in the cloud, in all that space. So this company is a $1.3 billion company, so it would be a small cap, not a tiny small cap, but a small cap. They make money. They've always made money since 2014. So they're going to make 76 cents this year. That's down a little bit from last year, 82 cents, but the following year, they're expected to bounce back at 87 cents a share. It's a $25 stock. So, you know, its low PE is like 22 of the last 5 years. So that would make it, let's see, 16, that'd make it about a $17, $18 stock if it trades at its low range of PE and it's at 25. So it's fairly low. And the chart looks like it's just trying to break support now. So it looks like it's on a momentum up. And it's not too pricey. Not a lot of debt. Management owns 14%. So I kind of like it. I like the sphere. And I noticed that there was buyers at $23 a share, so that's not too far from where it is now. So you can buy a little bit here, Mike. This might be a good, but don't buy everything. Wait, if it pulls back, you can buy the rest of your position. So for instance, if you want to buy 200 shares, buy 100 now and 100 later when you have a better price. Okay.
The earnings actually came out tonight after hours, and it dropped. This one, I picked it up a little bit.
Ah, where, do you know what it dropped in after hours? Where it dropped to?
It dropped to 23.90, something like that.
Okay, you might want to pick up on this drop. Now, look at the earnings report. Find out why they're, because a lot of times they came in as expected. They have good growth. Everything was fine. But they wanted even more, even though it came in as everybody expected. If that's the case, that's a buying opportunity. Okay, Mike?
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to AJ in Fremont. How are you doing, AJ?
Hi, Steve. For my retirement portfolio, I own CMO, Charlie, Mother, Oscar, and I wanted to see what you thought of it, and if I should if I just sell it or continue to hold it.
Okay, did you buy it for the dividend?
Yes.
Okay. This is CMO, Capstead Mortgage Corporation. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, and as you know, they got to pay 90% of their earnings in the form of a dividend to you, the shareholder. Right. And they invest in real estate-related assets on a leveraged basis as well as in other investment strategies. So that doesn't tell me a lot of what they're doing. When I hear the word leverage, that means they're doing, they're borrowing something. Okay, I'd like to know what that means. They're going to make 73 cents. They made 73 cents last year, 75 cents this year, and they're going to make 75 cents next year. So that's not going to change much. And they have to pay 90% of that in the form of a dividend. The stock is $9.60. So most likely, let's see, $9.80. So they're paying a little 80 cents to 85 cents, but they're only earning 75 cents. So I expect the dividend to drop a little bit. So I think that's going to happen. But if you buy it for the dividend, it's going to just stay in this $9.20 to $10.80 range probably. It's just going to stay in that range. But it's still going to pay you the dividend. Still making money. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. We'd love to talk to you. You're listening to Invest Talk. Yesterday, Justin talked with you about the list of billionaire bull market dissenters, and how it's grown. They're seeing similarities between the years of 2000 and 2017. Well, we'll see that. We'll see. 888-99-CHARTER. 888-992-4278. Let's go to, we have a stock, MNKKD. Is that a live caller? Okay, John. Hi, how you doing, John?
Great. Thanks for taking my call. It's a great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you a question about your opinion buying this stock. It's a small biotech stock, but which is trending right now. The ticker MNKD, it's Mankind. That's the company name.
Okay. Mankind Corporation, this would be a very high-risk stock, because it doesn't make any money. You know, I don't like buying stocks that don't make money. It made 58 cents last year, but this year it's going to lose 94 cents a share, and then next year lose 84 cents a share. It's really, really small. They develop treatments for cancer and diabetes, including a dry powder insulin formulation and a proprietary inhaler. So that's what they make, and they just began sales only 3 or 4 quarters ago. Before that, there were no sales. So it's so new, I'd be very difficult to be able to evaluate it because it's not going to make any money. So, if you want to buy this, it's purely on speculation, but it's already moved from $1.95 to $6.71 in a month, or not even a month, didn't even take a month, and just a, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 days. 8 days?
Yes.
So I wouldn't chase it. If you own it, great. If you own it, I'd take some profits right now. If you own it. Take half.
Yeah, I'm holding it right now. So I'm thinking that.
I might sell half just to take some off the table. I mean, how often do you get a stock going from $2 to almost $7 in 8 days? That's, what, 600% return in 8 days? That's a pretty good return, John. You might want to take some off the table, maybe half. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's MNKD, everybody, Mankind Corporation. A fairly new company. It's a very small company, very high risk. I do know that the insiders were pretty heavy buyers, but they still only own 2%. But they're pretty heavy buyers when it was around $1.20 to $1.50. Interesting. Trump's tax proposal. Have you seen any of the details? This is the outline. And believe me, it's not going to end up being this, but this is what the proposal is. A corporate tax of 20% down from 30%, the top rate. And one-time lower rate on repatriated corporate income outside the United States. Of course, the biggest one who has the most money outside the United States is Apple. Higher personal income, higher personal income deduction, you know those deductions you have for three total brackets, 12%, 25%, 35%. Doubling the standard deduction that you have. Those are some of the highlights. 25% on pass-through businesses where owners now pay ordinary higher income rates. So, for instance, if you are a corporation like my company, small company, it sounds like what they're proposing is that I can pass through the profits to me and just pay the one corporate rate instead of paying corporate taxes and then income tax again on that money. When I pay myself that money if I own the company. So the company pays income tax and I pay income tax. Well, they're saying, well, wait a minute, maybe we only tax you once at the corporate level, which seems, I like that idea of being a small businessman. So those are the highlights. And why would this help retirees? Because I do think it will. Because of the corporate tax. If that corporate tax is going to go from 30 down to 20, that means corporations are going to make more money. That means they have more money to pay dividends or to reinvest in a company, to grow the company, something. And if you're a stockholder and if you're a retiree and you're living off dividends, maybe you'll get more income. That's why. That's why it helped retirees. It's not a direct help to retirees. And the proposals I've seen, there's nothing directly in there. Time's up for the hour, everybody. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I'm glad you came with us today. On behalf of myself and Justin Klein and everybody at the KPP family, we all want to thank you. And let's do it again tomorrow. A reminder, personalized retirement portfolio reviews are available without charge no matter where you live in the U.S. Also, if you live in Orange County, California, I have meetings scheduled at our main office on October 25th. Then in San Jose on November 8th, just set it up today, November 8th in San Jose. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.